Can I get all the kids to come up and hang out with me for a little bit? If you are new to our church or if you're visiting this Sunday, I would say first, welcome. Glad to have you. But once a month or so, we have a children's sermon. And most of you might think that that's a sermon directed to kids, but really it's just a sermon that I do while the kids are right here. It's really for most of you. Do y'all know who Roland Stewart is? No? Nobody? You might know who he is after I describe to you where he shows up in our lives. Roland Stewart was a guy who had a conversion experience. Do you know what a conversion experience is? No? Yeah. A lot of Episcopalians don't, so worry about that. A conversion experience is when someone in sort of an episode of his or her life has an experience of God that is so powerful that it changes the course and shape of their life. And Roland Stewart had a conversion experience in the 70s. Were y'all around in the 70s? No, you weren't. I barely was. Not really, I was. And so anyway, he felt that like God was so important in his life that he needed to do something to tell people about his experience. And Roland Stewart was kind of a wacky guy, pretty wacky guy, maybe even beyond wacky, like listing toward crazy, right? And so Roland Stewart decided that he needed to get his version of the Christian message to people through television. But he wasn't any kind of celebrity and he didn't have any stake in a production company or a television company. So what he did was he began to go all around the world to different sporting events wearing a rainbow wig and holding a sign. And this sign has an important piece of scripture on it, right? It's one that we heard today. And so Roland Stewart would fly all around the country and he would go to baseball games and football games and basketball games, and he would stand there with this sign until the TV cameras would, you know, move and show him on TV. And then he would jump around and do kind of crazy things with the sign. And he believed that if people saw him on TV and then they went to the Bible and they read the words from this particular verse, that just the words would lead them to a similar experience of God. The same kind of experience that Roland Stewart had. Now, Roland Stewart, the verse that Roland Stewart talks about here, we had this morning. You heard Brian read it. It reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all who believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Roland Stewart thought that if people read those words from their Bibles at home, that they would come to see God in the same way that he saw them. He ended up having a pretty rocky life. You know where Roland Stewart is today? Anybody? No?
Cemetery?
What? Cemetery? No. Nearly. Roland Stewart is in Mule Creek State Prison, just outside of Sacramento, California, because he did go a little bit crazy. And sometimes people who attach themselves to certain parts of religious texts can go a little bit crazy. But what I want to do is I want to take this verse back from crazy, because it's a really important Bible verse in our faith and in our expression of religious faith, which we call Christianity. So, but and I look at this verse in kind of three separate beats. First one, first beat, for God so loved the world. Right, you know this? That's kind of a lovely phrase. Come on, come with me for a second. You guys follow me. Come on, come on. Come on. So sometimes people, there was this thing called, keep coming. There was this thing called the Protestant Reformation, and you haven't learned about this yet in school, but there was a time in church history when people came together and they formed a new church, and they did it because they felt like their old church wasn't quite working for them as well as they wanted it to work. And we're full inheritors of that Protestant Reformation. Some of our theology, some of the way that we express ourselves comes from the Protestant Reformation. And sometimes what you hear in the Protestant Reformation is you hear things like, oh, the world, look out for the kingdom of the world. You'd rather live in the kingdom of heaven. But in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world, right? Did you hear that? For God so loved the world. Look out there. That's beautiful, right? It's cold. It's beautiful. It's lovely. Okay, come back with me. Come back. Come on. Let's go back. They miss you. So when we live in a place like this, a place like Jackson Hole, Wyoming, we're pretty attuned to creation, right? We live in this like outrageously beautiful place where we see trees and rivers and mountains and beautiful prairie and lovely wild animals that are everywhere. So when people say the world is bad, but we experience what we just experienced outside together, it can be kind of confusing. So the first thing that I want to walk away, well, I want you guys to walk away with today, yeah, it's pretty cool, isn't it? You can have it right after this. The first thing I want you to walk away with is creation, the world in which we live, is a beautiful thing. It's a lovely thing. And it's a wonderful tool for our religious and spiritual lives. Getting out in nature, you know, I bet a bunch of you were on the ski mountain yesterday, and you probably ended the day, though you were tired, you probably ended the day with like a bit of stoke, right? You were like, yeah, what a great day. I know Gussie Padel skied Corbett's in an eagle costume nonetheless. Awesome. So you get that feeling where like, yeah, I want you to know, the world is good. God loves the world. God created the world. God created the creatures in the world. And we are those creatures, and God loves us too. You got that? Beat one. Beat two. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So this is what makes us distinctive as Christian people. This is what makes our religion a little bit different from the rest of the world's religion. Our religion says that God became human, that God became flesh in a moment of time, and we call that fleshy God Jesus. And the thing that I want you to walk away with is not just that God became flesh and God became Jesus, but in this act of God becoming human, God is making a statement also about our own humanity. So we read these stories in the Bible, and Jesus is walking around with his team of friends. What do we call those? Disciples, right? Awesome. Yeah. So God's moving around. Jesus is moving around with these disciples, and oftentimes he'll do something like he'll perform a miracle. He'll turn water into wine, or he'll feed thousands of people with very little food. And when he does that, he'll say to his disciples right before he does it, watch me. Watch how I do this. And then they watch. And then he says, now you go and do the same thing. And they say, no, we couldn't do that. And he says, no, you can, and you will do even greater things than these, even greater things. So, for God so loved the world because it's lovely, that he gave his only begotten son, God came, God's connected to us, not just in the work and person of Jesus in history on a timeline, but in here and in here, God is interacting with us as creatures, and creatures who are empowered to be his partners in this work in the world that we would do, to be co-creators. So we have work to do as Christian people, and that work is to spread love, to engage each person and make sure that they know that they are loved and cared for, and that if they need any kind of nurture, we might be the ones to provide it for them. Beat one, beat two, beat three. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all who believe in him should not die, but should have life everlasting. Now this is the complicated one. This is the one that gets a little bit crazy. There are some people who would have you believe that all you need to do to be a godly person, to be a follower of God, and to be included in this thing that they call eternal life, all that you need to do is that you should stand up and speak out, preferably in English, preferably with an accent that's somewhat similar to mine, that you would speak out, "I believe in Jesus." And poof, right there, in that moment of time, you're in, you're locked in. I don't necessarily read it that way. Now, here's what I would say. I don't believe there's anything wrong with someone standing up and saying, "I believe in Jesus." In fact, I do it at least once a week. Look at me. Does it look like I don't believe in Jesus? No. I believe in Jesus, but I read this phrase from this verse way more comprehensively than that. I think it's more what believing in Jesus means. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all who believe in him, what believing in Jesus means, that your life, it looks like, from the things that you say and the things that you do, that those things are matched up with love. That people can see what you do and how you act and who you are in the world, and they'll say, "I don't know what the rest of the stuff that Amelia does, but I can tell you that stuff that she's doing right now, it's loving." It's really important. It's really important that we remember that believing in God is not just something that we do here. It's something that we do here in our hearts, and it's something that we do here with our hands in the way that we interact with the world. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, like, why does a guy like Jimmy, on a day like this, Amazon Prime a rainbow wig to his house, go to Staples yesterday, and get a sign like this? I do this because I want you to know, as people of God, no doubt in your lifetime, you're going to come across some pretty wacky people when it comes to religion. It just happens. I don't think it happens necessarily because of religion. I think it happens just because they're people. Some of us are pretty wacky people, right? Right? Just say yes. I'm trying to bring this home. I'm trying to wrap this up for you guys. Hang with me. Stick with me. So what I want you to know is that, and probably most of you can read, and those of you who can't are going to learn. I want you to read these stories for yourselves. And I want you to know that you go to a church that wants you to think about these stories and wants you to talk about them and wants you to act through them, try to act them out and live them out in your lives in such a way that is both meaningful to you and recognizable to the rest of the community, that you are people who are committed to love who we know to be God. Okay? So don't worry about those wacky religious people. Maybe you want to join some of them. You know? Maybe you want your own rainbow wig. You want your own sign. Or maybe you want to just be a part of a church like this, a church that is committed to getting together once a week in worship, but also committed to doing good things for the community. To really living out our faith in a way that's visible in acts of kindness and service to the community. Cool? Everybody cool? Yeah? Okay. Amen.